Nearly 27 years ago, Janice and I had to choose sides. I let her choose. She chose left, and I chose the right because she chose left. Whenever we are at home or we go somewhere else, she's on the left, I'm on the right. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about which side of the bed we sleep on. Because before that, I slept in the middle of the bed. There have been occasions where she said I was sleeping in the middle of the bed again. But basically speaking, for the last 27 years now, I've been sleeping on the right. The first church I served in, people were choosing sides in that church. I'll have to confess they were. Some chose Ford, some chose Chevy. We had a lot of NASCAR fans in that church, and the ones who chose Ford, if he didn't drive a Ford, they didn't like him. And the ones who chose Chevy, if they didn't drive a Chevy, they didn't like him. They played pranks on one another all the time. It was pretty funny. I remember one day it came out after church, and on the front of somebody's big Ford truck was a Chevrolet license plate right on the front of it. Another time came out and there was a Ford sticker on the back of somebody's Chevy truck. So they were constantly doing stuff like that to one another. Right now in our country, it seems like we're more divided than ever as people have chosen sides. Every day when you turn on the news, it's talked about ad nauseum, and this group is fussing at that group. One side accuses the other of misleading people and slanting the story the way that they want it to be told, and the other side says that their way is better, will benefit the country more. And of course, I'm talking about the argument over plain or peanut M&Ms. But sadly, too many people come to the Christian faith and think that they don't have to choose sides. You see, there is no in-between. There is no neutral ground. Either you're for Christ or you're against Him. We're going to be on one side or the other. We're either in His camp or we're not in His camp. Some people say, well, I just want to do enough to get in. I don't want to be too religious. The person that has that mentality is showing that they don't understand the Christian faith at all. They've heard about hell. They don't want to go there, but they really don't want to let go of their sin in this life. They want to have what they consider to be fun and still get into heaven. However, being a Christian means choosing sides, and you must choose to follow God or go your own way. When you understand what it is that He's done for you, you're going to choose Him. You realize the cost that He paid for you. You realize the price. I believe that if you ever truly know God, you won't ride the fence. I believe you'll choose God. I believe if you truly know God, you'll give God your all. That doesn't mean that you'll always be perfect. It doesn't mean that you'll do everything just right, but you will work to give Him your best. We're going to look at a passage this morning that deals with choosing sides. Time is short, and we had better choose which side we're on, because it won't be long before He'll return, and there won't be another opportunity to choose. So let's see what John has to say about this. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar, if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. What you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He Himself made to us, eternal life. I have written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it is taught you, remain in Him. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is the truth. God, I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to to hear from you today, Lord. Help us to apply this truth in our lives, God. May we leave here truly understanding what it means to abide in you. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're talking about choosing sides, and first of all, we see those against Christ. Those against Christ. Now, John is initially addressing weaker Christians in verse 18, and in this verse he uses the term for children that has to do with dependence, and it's not a term of endearment in that case, but instead he's referring to the younger or weaker in the faith. You notice right off that John speaks of it being in the last hour. Some would look at that and think that John didn't know what he's talking about. After all, it's been over 1,900 years. What was John saying? I mean, how could John possibly be right, it being the last hour? I mean, it's been so many years since then. But the truth is, when Christ died on the cross, when he was laid in that tomb and he walked out of that grave, then he ascended to heaven, the last days began. John knew exactly what he was talking about. The Holy Spirit inspired him. This is absolute truth. And John understood that Christ could return at any moment. He understood that we need to be living right for him. We need to be honoring him in the way that we are living. But even in John's day, there were already forms of antichrists all around. I don't believe John was referring to antichrist with a capital A. I think he was referring to the fact that there were those who were clearly against Christ, who were trying to imitate and be fakes of him. Even in John's day, there were people already rising up against the cause of Christ. Now in verse 19, John goes on to be more specific, and he said that they went out from us, but they were not really of us or didn't belong to us. John made it clear that these who turned against Christ were once a part of the church. These people were once pretenders in the body of Christ. They were people who put on their Sunday best and they played the part of a Christian, but eventually walked away from the faith. They were never truly Christians, and John makes it painfully clear and said if they had truly been Christians, they would have remained true in the first place. People over the years have asked the question, can someone lose their salvation? Can someone walk away from God? Well, I believe the Word of God teaches clearly that what is in God's hands cannot be removed. And I believe this passage here is another one of those passages that reminds us once you truly know Christ, you remain in Him. You cannot walk away from Him. You will not walk away from Him. Those who genuinely know Him remain with Him. We may go through a season. We may go through what we sometimes refer to as backsliding. But the truth of the matter is, we still know what is right and what is wrong. My brother and I are probably perfect examples of this. We were both raised in a Christian home. We both raised by the same parents, obviously. We both were taken to church. If you would like, as I've said before, when we were young, we had a drug problem. Our parents drug us to church. Okay, you with me? So my brother, now for those of you who don't know, my brother's 14 and a half years older than me. So he's like 28. Okay, not really. Yeah, and a half. Yeah, that's right. But my brother walked the aisle as a child, was baptized in a Baptist church, grew up hearing the gospel preached, but today, as of this day, my brother's not in church and hasn't been since he left home. Except for maybe for a funeral or something of that sort, maybe for a wedding. My brother, by everything that I can tell from talking to him, even though he can talk about some of the things of God, does not have a relationship with God. We've talked about these things, and I've talked with him, and his sort of perspective is almost a deist perspective, that God started things in motion but really doesn't care what happens. God is not a deist. God is not a clockmaker that started things in order. He is a God who is personally aware and related to all of this and intentional about what is going on here, involved in our lives on a daily basis. He is a wholly other than, and yet He is personal. And while I placed my faith in Jesus Christ as a six-year-old, I walked the aisle and was baptized, I haven't been perfect since then either. I've had some periods of time in my life where I wandered away from God, where I wasn't living like I should. But even in those times, I knew that I wasn't where I needed to be, and God was convicting my heart and brought me back to Him so that today I know Him. Today that I know that I know that I know Him. It's no guess to me about where I'm going to spend my eternity. I don't sit around fretting over what's going to happen after this life because I've read the end of the book. I don't have to know all the details. I serve a God who is a God of details. I trust it to Him. What I have read sounds pretty awesome to me, and I can't wait to get there. But I'm not going to rush it because I want to be here as long as He'd have me to be here. As Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If we're not living for Him, we don't understand the abundant life that He has called us to. Already in John's day, so close to Christ, having lived, having walked the earth, having rose from the grave, having ascended to heaven, so close, people were still playing games. People were still pretending to be Christians and weren't. In verses 22 and 23, we get some further light shed on this idea of the one who is against Christ. The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ or denies the deity of Christ is a liar and does not know the Father. Folks, there are people today who believe that God is deity and that Jesus is not, or that He is somehow lesser deity than God the Father. That is absolute heresy. That's not even close to what the Word of God teaches. I am not going to stand up here and tell you that I have my mind wrapped around how God the Father, how God the Son, how God the Holy Spirit are three and yet one, but I know that is what is taught in the Word of God. And you see, here's the beautiful thing to me. God is so big, God is so powerful that I can't understand Him. If I could put Him in a box, if I could wrap Him up in a nice little tidy systematic theology that I could explain everything about Him, He'd cease to be God. But He is so much bigger than any systematic theology. He's so much bigger than any of my thoughts that I could never tell you everything that there is to know about Him. That's the God that we serve. And there's so many who reject Him. The person who doesn't accept the deity of Christ rejects the Father as well. That's what John tells us in this text. And I would never assume that everyone here is strong in the faith. As a matter of fact, statistics would tell us the number of people in this room maybe have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. If you've been struggling with that, don't let this day go by. I don't care if your name's already on a church roll somewhere or on this church roll. If you've never nailed that down, nail it down today. Don't wait any longer. Invite Him into your life. Place your faith in Him. For those who have been a Christian for years and you realize you've not been growing in that faith, your faith is still very young, very much not where it needs to be, very much not where it could be, then make the commitment to spend time with Him. I'm going to say it over and over, and I may say it over and over this morning. We must spend time in God's Word to grow. We must dig into His Word to allow Him to pour into us. You need that time with Him. You need to grow in Him, and you must make that a priority. If you haven't been having a quiet time, let me just encourage you right now to start with 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I'm not asking you to get up tomorrow and start having a one-hour quiet time. I want to be honest with you. If you've not been doing a quiet time and you want to fail at your quiet time, get up tomorrow and try to do an hour. You'll probably be lost in it by about 15 minutes in at the most. If you get to 15-minute mark, you'll be doing great. But I want to challenge you to start off with 10 minutes. Just spend 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, spend 5 to 7 minutes of that reading God's Word. If you don't know where to start, there are some devotional books out on that shelf out there. Stand Firm for Men, Journey for the Ladies. There are other books out there, Open Windows. I don't know if the Open Windows are out there or not right now. I know the Stand Firms and the Journeys are out there, but there are always devotional helps available. If you have a smartphone, go to the YouVersion app and download it on your phone. There are devotionals on it. There's so many ways you can study God's Word. But spend some time reading His Word. But then make sure you save some time to pray. And can I say this to you? In your praying, don't just talk to God. Listen. Prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. God wants to talk to you. You've got to be willing to listen to Him. Then as you spend time with God, as you do that, add to it. Don't just stay at 10 minutes. A year from now, you ought to be studying more. You ought to be spending more time with Him. Getting into God's Word is so important. And those who know Christ and know who He is are better able to defend their faith. So we see those who are against Christ, but next we see those anointed by Christ. Now, who are the anointed? Well, of course the anointed are those who speak in tongues. No, unfortunately, that's what some would try to say, but the Bible doesn't support that argument. Well, then, are they those that the elders of the church have placed their hands on and prayed over? So only the ordained or the anointed in the church? No, that is not biblical either. Those have been set apart for a special service, but they're not the only anointed in the church. Then is it those who have been anointed with oil? Well, they've been anointed with oil, but they're still not the anointed. They're not what John is talking about here. So who in the world is John talking about? If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, John is talking about you. You are the anointed. The Holy Spirit has come to live in your life because you've placed your faith in Him as your Savior and Lord. Because Jesus Christ is in you, you are anointed. You are set apart for Him, for His service, and you can discern the things of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul refers to it in this way. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. God set us apart. He seals us, and He reminds us of that sealing by the Holy Spirit coming into our lives as a pledge from God that I am with you. I will always be with you. The Holy Seal is within us. And while we certainly receive the blessings of God now and abundant life now, this is only a foreshadowing of what is to come when we go to be with God. Now, I don't sit around and wonder if I belong to God. I know He is real, and I know that I'm following after one who is alive. I have known God's presence in my life. I have seen His work around me. I know God has literally changed the desires of my heart, and I've seen the power of His word change the hearts and lives of others as well. God has the ability to penetrate a heart and a life in such a clear and decisive way that it can't be explained in mere words. And once His presence has penetrated your life, you have the ability to learn and to discern things that were once a total mystery to you. Now I'm going to check the age of some of you here this morning. Is there anybody here this morning that remembers the old game show called Password? Amen. I see a few hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. The old game Password. I used to enjoy watching that game as a kid. I enjoyed it so much so that my parents actually bought me the home version of the game. I had the home version of Password. Now, you remember, if you're not familiar with Password, there were two teams of two, and the person would give a one-word clue to try to get them to figure out what the word was, the secret word that they were looking for. Now, on TV, the secret word would pop up on the screen, and they would say it, you know, the voiceover would say it, pew, pew. You know, you'd hear this voice low, but obviously in the home game, you didn't have that. But the way it worked in the home game, the card, if you looked at the card with the word on it, you couldn't see it, but you had this little decoder sleeve that you would slide the card into. That sleeve was red, and it had a red translucent little piece of plastic on it so that when you slid the card into it, it would be decoded. You could actually read the word then, and then the game would start. You know, you would say that back and forth, trying to get them to guess the word. What was undiscernible before now could suddenly be seen. I want to say to you, to a lost and dying world, the Word of God is not discernible. It's mixed up. It doesn't make sense. It's confusing. But for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within you to help you discern God's Word. Now I want to say to you, just so you're going to be okay here, because I don't want to freak you out, there are going to be things you still struggle with, okay? There's some things that unless we really dig into and really start to look at and begin to understand the cultural context of it and know what's going on around, you'll never be able to distinguish or discern, because you got to know those things. So you got to be willing to dig into some study helps you. If you don't have a good study Bible, I would encourage you, get a good study Bible. I'm going to put a quick plug in, not because I get anything from it at all. If Lifeway in Kennesaw has all the CSB, the Christian Study Bible, which is the translation I'm using right now, every one they have is 40% off. So if you're looking for a present for somebody, or you just need a new study Bible, I would encourage you to get that. There's great study notes in there. But you need at least that. And beyond that, I would encourage you to get a commentary. Get something that will help you out. Something that just gives you God's Word better explained, so that some of those things that you miss, one of the best you could get out there, and Lifeway has it too, is the Wiersbe Bee series. He has it for the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it will help you understand God's Word more. It will help you understand the context. And Warren Wiersbe is so easy to follow. Susie, can I get a witness? Thank you. All right. See, Susie asked me one time about a commentary. I told her that, and she came back and told me, man, that was great, and I had to get Con a copy because he kept stealing mine. But it is a great study help, but we need that. But when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, He helps us better understand God's Word to discern those things. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to automatically be a biblical PhD because you have the Holy Spirit in your life, but He will help you understand things that you didn't get before. But Paul tells us in Philippians to work out our salvation, and that is the process of growing in Christ. John tells us in verse 27 that we no longer need other people to teach us. Now we have the Holy Spirit to teach us. Now, John wasn't saying don't listen to good Bible teaching. John wasn't saying don't listen to good preaching. John was simply saying that you don't have to rely solely on others to help you understand God's Word. And can I tell you this very clearly? I know far more about God's Word from what I have studied than from what I have heard. Now, I've heard without question some of the best preachers that the Southern Baptist Convention has ever had to offer. I am old enough, when I was in seminary, for those of you who are remotely familiar with this name, I got to hear W.A. Criswell in person. W.A. Criswell pastored First Baptist Dallas for 50 years. His predecessor, George Truett, pastored Dallas for 50 years. So in 100 years, that church had two pastors. That's mind-blowing. Most churches have two pastors in 2 years. But anyway, that's another story. I've heard some of the greatest preachers that have ever walked the face of this earth in person. But I can tell you this, I've learned far more by spending time in God's Word myself than I have from any of those men. We must spend time in His Word. We must dig into it. God wants to teach us. God wants us to learn from Him. God wants us to grow in Him. And then some people will say, well, if I can do it all by just spending time in God's Word, I don't need to come to church. That'd be an error as well. The writer of Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembling of the believers. There is something about worshiping together with one another. There's something about studying God's Word together collectively that's important in our growth. We need that aspect in our walk, but we also need the accountability. We don't like that word. We've twisted that word today to think that's meddling instead of being accountable. But the truth of the matter is we need people around us who are willing to ask us the hard questions. How's your quiet time? Are you studying God's Word? What's God teaching you in His Word? We need people to encourage us in that, because left to ourselves, we have a tendency to go pretty light on ourselves. We need people to help us with that personal time in God's Word. If He truly is the most important relationship in your life, then you're going to make time for Him. I'm going to ask you a hard question right now. If your spouse got as much time from you as God gets from you, would they feel neglected or cared for? If your spouse got as much time from you as God gets from you, would they feel neglected or cared for? Your friends, you have to keep in touch with friends to be able to have a relationship with Him. But don't treat God like you treat some of your friends that you only talk to once or twice a year. He's always there, and we need Him every day. He wants to spend time with us every day. He wants to have that relationship with us. We need to let Him be Lord of our time, make a priority of Him in what we do. So we see those against Christ, and we see those anointed by Christ. But finally, I want you to see those abiding in Christ. John instructs us to hold on to the truth that we've heard from God's Word. His primary audience absolutely was the immature believers that he was speaking to, and he didn't want them to be deceived. You see, the problem for an immature believer is they can hold on to things in fragments of the truth. And when they start holding on to fragments of the truth, when they start hearing lies mixed in with that, they don't discern. And make no mistake about it, if you accept something that is a fragment of the truth, it is not all from God. Something that is from God is His pure, absolute truth. There is no partial truth with God. People have told me sometimes that I don't beat around the bush when it comes to preaching. You see, here's my thing when it comes to preaching. If I offend you by telling you the truth of God's Word, I love you, but I can live with that. But if I offend God by watering down His truth, I can't live with that. I would much rather offend you than offend Him. You see, I'm going to spend eternity with Him, and I'm going to have to answer to Him. And here's the scarier thing, even beyond that. I'm going to have to answer for what I've said to you. So if I haven't been completely honest with you about His Word, I'm going to stand before Him and give an account of that. But John goes on to say that if we abide in the truth that we've heard, then we will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And if we stick to the truth of God's Word, then we will be walking with the Father and Son. We'll have fellowship with Him. You know, there's something curious about walking with somebody. You have to agree to go the same way at the same time together. We could go and we could say, hey, let's go walking today, okay? And you're going to go at 3 o'clock and I'm going to go at 4 o'clock. Well, we didn't really go out walking together, did we? You went at your time, I went at my time. If we're going to walk together, we've got to agree to go at the same time, to go the same direction together. If we're going to walk with God, guess what? We've got to walk with Him where He wants to. And here's the thing about God. God is not your co-pilot. If He is, He's in the wrong seat. He has to lead. He's our pilot. He needs to be in front, not behind us, not beside us, in front, us following Him, us walking in His steps and letting Him lead and guide and direct us. Make no mistake, sin disrupts fellowship in our lives with Him, and if we allow that sin to creep in and don't confess it, that unconfessed sin keeps us from being able to walk with Him. Nome, Alaska is on the edge of the Bering Sea. And like many villages in the Arctic, its ground sits on is frozen tundra, and burying the dead's a real challenge. There are no sanitation landfills, and because garbage trucks don't haul off the trash regularly, the typical front yard displays broken washing machines, junk cars, old toilets, scrap wood, and piles of non-degradable refuse. Tourists who visit Nome in the summer months look at what they see around them and they think, boy, these folks are pretty unclean. I mean, these folks have a real issue with trash, a real problem. But what they don't know is that 9 months out of the year, Nome is buried in snow. 9 months out of the year, you can't see any of that trash. And the people who visit in those winter months see this beautiful, pristine, driven snow all around, not knowing the trash that lies beneath. I want to ask you this morning, is your life like Nome in the wintertime? People look at the surface and what they see on the surface is perfect, driven. Snow just looks pure. But God knows the truth about what's below and the sin that you've been harboring and the sin that you haven't let go of that's destroying your fellowship with Him. And ultimately, folks, ultimately summertime's coming and God will expose that sin. And even those that you think you've been hiding it from, that sin will be exposed unless you confess it. Don't waste time in your life holding on, harboring sin in your life. Instead, turn to Him. Instead, confess it. Ask His forgiveness and allow Him to work in your life. You see, God wants you to be able to abide with Him. He wants you to be able to walk close to Him. But that can't happen if you hold on to sin. You see, those who are against Christ, they're living in sin. They're walking away from God. They're not choosing God. They're choosing their own ways. But those who have truly been anointed by Christ, who have been anointed by Him, who have asked His forgiveness, have placed their faith in Him, those of us who have done that, we need to abide with Him as well. Walk closely and carefully with Him that we might live for Him. There may be someone here this morning that's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Listen. You can deceive me. You can deceive everybody around you. And nobody will ever know the difference. The dangerous thing about that is you're still going to spend your eternity in the same place if you don't ask His forgiveness. But He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to know His forgiveness today. Would you be willing to place your faith in Him? Would you be willing to say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, please forgive me. If you'd simply do that, He'd forgive you. He'd forgive you. And you could have eternal life. And know that one day you'll be with Him in heaven. Don't miss that opportunity. Maybe you're here and something's been weighing you down. Something in your life. As a Christian, you know that this is something you ought to be able to let go of. Trust it to Him today. What would He even begin to withhold from us when He's already given us His Son? The only thing He's going to withhold from us is something that would harm us. Something that He knows we don't need. But if you have a burden, give it over to Him. Trust it to Him and trust Him to work out His good for you. He promises He will. Maybe you're here and God's put it on your heart to serve Him in a capacity you haven't before. God's working in your life and you know that He wants you to serve Him in a special way. Whatever that is, would you come and share that with the church so the church could pray for you? Maybe you want to become a part of this church and serve Him through the ministry of this church. If God is leading into that, then you come and share that with me today. But whatever God has put on your heart, let Him have His way right now during this invitation. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your love, Lord, for Your amazing grace. God, I thank You that You want us to have a relationship with You. God, that You want us to stay close to You, to abide in You, Lord. And I pray for each of those here today who have placed their faith in You, God, that we would indeed abide in You. God, that we would walk closely and carefully with You. And anything right now in our lives that's hindering us, God, I pray You'd reveal it to us. God, help us to lay it at Your feet. God, for those who are here this morning who have not placed their faith in You, I ask You to give them the courage to do that right now, to ask Your forgiveness. Lord, whatever You need to do in our hearts during this invitation, whatever the need is, we pray Your Holy Spirit would minister in each life. That You might be glorified in this place. It's in Your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.